The Rocks and Fault in Bright Angel Trail. The trail which descends into the canyon a few rods west of El Tovar Hotel affords a complete and instructive exposition of the rocks of the canyon walls. Most of the features are so clear that anyone can recognize them. The section in Figure 10 shows the general succession of rocks. At the top and in many cliffs down the first few zigzags is the Kaibab Limestone, a white, fine-grained rock in beds which separate into layers every few feet. Impressions of fossil shells are abundant in some layers, and many fragments of hard yellowish flint will be noticed. This limestone series is about 700 feet thick in the canyon walls. At the east entrance to the little tunnel through which the trail passes, some exceptionally interesting features are exposed. Here, the base of the Kaibab Limestone is seen lying on the Coconino Sandstone. The top of the ladder forms a shelf at the summit of a high cliff, which the trail just reaches at the mouth of this tunnel. The change from one formation to another is abrupt, but there are a few inches of passage beds so that the precise plane of contact is difficult to recognize. Figure 11 shows some of the features. At the tunnel, the trail reaches a fault, or vertical break, by which the rocks to the west were uplifted bodily about 140 feet by an upheaval of the Earth's crust. The fault, or plane of movement, extends up the face of the cliff at the east entrance to the tunnel, and consequently, the tunnel is entirely in the uplifted Coconino Sandstone. The plane is distinctly shown by the discontinuity in the rock beds, but instead of an open joint, the break is filled with calcium carbonate, constituting a vein about a foot wide. From a point up the trail a short distance back from the tunnel, a glance west across the fault shows that as a result of the uplift, the basal beds of the Kaibab Limestone are much higher on the west side than on the east. The uplifted Coconino Sandstone on the west side of the fault presents a great cliff, which is very conspicuous beyond the tunnel. It is this fault and the loose material from it that has made a trail practicable here, for nearly throughout its course along the canyon walls, the 300-foot cliff of Coconino Sandstone is an impassable barrier. At the foot of this cliff, there may be seen the sharply marked contact of the coarse Coconino Sandstone with the bright red shale at the top of the Supai Formation. This contact is particularly well exposed near the trail on the west side of the fault, and it may be seen also at intervals along the cliffs at other places. A few feet below this basal contact on the east side of the fault, there is the U.S. Geological Survey benchmark reading 5866. The trail makes many zigzags down the steep slopes and high steps of the red shales and the red sandstones of the Supai Formation. Their thickness is 1,150 feet. Owing to frequent alteration of hard sandstone layers and soft shale masses, the Supai Formation presents a great succession of red terraces all along the middle slopes of the walls on both sides of the trail, in Dana Butte, still farther west, and in O'Neill Butte, some distance east. Another characteristic feature of the Supai Formation is its red color, which prevails throughout. At its base, there is a rapid change of sediments to the great massive ledge of red wall limestone, which everywhere presents a typical 500-foot cliff about halfway down the canyon walls. This limestone cliff is stained red to a greater or less extent by wash from the red shales above, but when the rock is broken into, it is seen to be of a light gray color. The first ledges of red wall limestone are about 2,000 feet below the rim of the canyon, and benchmark 4850 is on the surface of the first prominent ledge. In the red wall limestone, the trail winds down irregular slopes east of the fault and then passes through extensive rock cuts necessary to pass the principal cliffs, which otherwise would be quite impassable for the mules. A few rods west of the trail, there will be noted one of the great cave-like alcoves in the red wall cliff, which are typical of the rock. After descending the red wall cliff and some minor steep slopes marking the hard upper beds of the Tonto Group, the trail passes down the long slope of the shale of the Tonto Group and the valley excavated in it to the Indian Gardens. Here some small but vigorous springs emerge, probably rising through crevices from the upper part of the sandstone of the Tonto Group, which is at no great distance below the surface. The water of these springs has been utilized for limited irrigation for a long time, as the Indians raised crops here many centuries before the white man penetrated the canyon. A short distance beyond Indian Gardens, the trail passes out of the little valley of Garden Creek onto the Tonto Platform, an extensive shelf due to the hard bed of sandstone, a feature which is characteristic throughout the canyon. Here the trail divides, one branch going north to the north edge of the Tonto Platform or Plateau, and the other winding to the northeast to descend into the valley of Pipe Creek, which gives access to the bottom of the Granite Gorge. From the edge of the Tonto Platform, a very fine view is obtained not only of the Granite Gorge below, which is here 1,380 feet deep, but of many of the great promontories of red wall limestone and red supai beds. It is only from the depths of the canyon that one can obtain a proper conception of the scale and true relation of its features, for the sense of proportion is very much dwarfed by elevations at the rim. From the Tonto platform, there is a very comprehensive vista up the canyon of Bright Angel Creek, the lower part of which is in granite and gneiss, and the middle part in the red shales and associated rocks of the Unkar group. The character and relation of a great wedge of these Unkar rocks are also plainly visible much nearer by, on the north side of the river, where they underlie an area of considerable extent. Due north of the point of view, there is a shelf corresponding to the one on which the observer stands. Behind this, towards Cheops Pyramid and Isis Temple, are steep slopes of the red shales of the Unkar group, surmounted by the dark gray quartzite near the top of the Unkar group. These rocks extend to the brink of the canyon northwest of the point of view, where the basal limestones rise as great dark cliffs surmounting the steep slopes of the granite rocks of the inner gorge. Looking eastward, one can see some outlying masses of the Unkar rocks on the south side of the river. Two of them, only a mile and a half east, are in plain view. Others faulted into narrow slivers, as shown in the section in Figure 9, are 2 miles farther east, but hardly in view from the Tonto platform. The river is about 300 feet wide and usually runs about 25 or 35 feet deep. The swift current is always turbid with the sediment it is carrying. This sediment is the sand and silt washed from the valley slopes, and the total amount carried in the course of the year, especially in times of flood, is very great. But during the short but rigorous rains which occur occasionally about the canyon, every little rivulet is loaded with sediment. This is carried down the steep declivities and poured into the river channel to be finally removed by the great stream in its never-ending flow to the southwest. By this means, every little canyon is being deepened and cut farther back, so that it is only a question of time, under present conditions, when all the slopes will be cut away and the entire province reduced to a plain so smooth that rivers can no longer carry away the products of disintegration.